Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our studies in the second epistle of Timothy, chapter 2, where we see the Christian brought before us in seven figures. And we see the Christian, we've already noticed in this series of study, the Christian is seen as a son, he's seen as a soldier. Today we will be looking at the Christian as an athlete, then as a farmer, then as a workman, then as a vessel, and last of all, as a servant of the Lord. Now, today we will read just the first few verses, to relate our verse, which is indeed the fifth verse, to the text, and put it in its context. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Here, we're a son. "And all things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." And then he goes on to say, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So the Christian is seen as a soldier. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And then the verse for today, "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." The Christian here is seen as an athlete. The next broadcast, as a farmer. "The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits." And then Paul says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." He wants Timothy to understand all the ways and the means that God uses and using him to reach people and to be a blessing among his own people. Now today we wish to consider the fact that the Christian is an athlete. It tells us so many things. The athlete is so devoted. He is so concentrated. And the athlete indeed experiences that in life that will fit him for other areas of his life. The athlete is prepared. He has to learn endurance. He has to learn devotion. He has to learn dedication. And these traits are carried over into other parts of our lives. Athletics are good if they're not worshipped as a god. And certainly they indeed, Paul refers to the athlete in the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I think I'll turn to that now. In the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul shows us the devotion and the concentration of the athlete in his masteries. We read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Paul writes, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery," and you notice this is the same language that is used in 2 Timothy 2 and 5. There we read, "If any man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully." He's got to obey the rules. Here he uses the same word, not the same word in the Greek, but the same word in the English, and we're reading from the Authorized. And we're going to talk about the real meaning of this word in just a moment. "If any man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." Every man that strives in the mastery is temperate in all things. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air," no shadow boxing for the Apostle Paul, "but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection." The body in the race wants to quit. Paul says, don't let it quit. "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or disapproved." Now let's think of this, if you please. Paul, I think, is referring to the Greek games. The Greek games out of which we have now developed our own Olympics running was so big in those days. And then, of course, they threw the discus in those days. I remember so well the statue of the discus thrower and his concentration. And they had those games. Now, Paul does not want to drive people into sports, so that absolutely is an obsession with them. But there is so much gained by physical effort. And Paul uses this as an illustration that just as the athlete is consecrated and dedicated to his purpose, to winning, that's the bottom line, winning the race. So that can be carried over into Christianity and used for our concentration and our devotion in running the race of life. Now he tells us here very plainly, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? They're all running. But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Now Paul is saying here, run with a thought of winning. Run as if, well, I was going to say your life depended on it. It's hardly that. But run with intensity. And I think that we as Christians need to realize that the Christian life is one of intensity. I'm very, very fearful that many Christian people just simply go to heaven in a bed of roses. They don't realize the true import, the true thrust of the Christian life. It's a life of intensity, a life of devotion, not a life of shadow boxing, not a life of make-believes, not a life of going through the motions. Paul says, so run that ye obtain. Now, this is not jogging for exercise. This is running the race of life. Some people, I'm quite amused. I did a little running in my own day under competition, and I'm so amused at seeing some of these joggers. They run as if they were afraid that they were going to run. They just hardly go more than a walk. Well, perhaps that's all they should do to get their exercise. But he says, so run that ye may obtain. Go after the prize. Run that ye may obtain. Now he says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now this word strive here, which is also used in 2 Timothy 2:5, if any man strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. That word strive here comes from the Greek word agonia, from which we get our word agony. The word agony is really transliterated over from the Greek. Agonia. It means extending yourself to the full extent, even to the point of agony. And believe me, when you're in a long race, it can become agonizing. I see pictures on the TV of marathon runners. I see the strain in their faces. I see the drawn appearances after running 26 miles. You would have drawn faces. They're devoted. To what purpose? That they might win a prize. That they might win a poor withering wreath. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Oh, how soon that wreath that they won in the Greek games, how soon that wreath withered. But the wreath that we are winning, going for, all out, is incorruptible. He says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now Paul is not excluding himself. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. No shadow boxing for Paul. It was the real thing. And the Christian life is the real thing. And God wants us. Now, let's look at some of the things that we have to do in order to be a good athlete. We have to eat right. Eat the right kinds of food. We have to get the proper amount of rest. We don't run all the time. We have to rest part of the time. And even in the Christian life, the Christian must seek times of rest and recreation. He needs his R&R. And we do need to take care of our bodies. But when we run, we run. But then when we rest, we should rest. The athlete should get plenty of rest. He should practice and train faithfully. He should devote himself to training. The high jumper, the pole vaulter, the different things where form is to be perfected. He has to complete the training. He has to stay with it. And that's how, I wonder, shall we say, that we as Christians thus treat our training. Do we treat it with that same devotion? There's a prize to be won. Now, the Christian crown is that one that is going to last. Let's talk about the Christian judge. It's Christ himself at the Bema. Now, here is something that is very interesting. The judges stand, and you remember that we're talking about this, running the race, striving lawfully. Every Greek runner after his race had to stand before that judgment stand, which is called the Bema. Now, would you believe it? The Spirit of God has used that very same word, Bema, in translating the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand before the judge and see, did we run the race fairly? Did we strive lawfully? God has principles. We cannot carry the principles of this world, however successful they may be in the business world. We cannot carry those principles into the work of God. We have to use God's principles in the race of life. And he says, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. We're going to stand before the Bema. Now, the Greek runner stood before the Bema, and he, if he was approved, he was said, the judge would say, dokimus. If he was disapproved, as Paul writes here, that lest I myself should be a castaway, the word is adokimus. He doesn't mean he's losing his salvation. He means he is disapproved. And the judge, if the judge said adokimus, that athlete had to build a statue to Zeus in repentance. Now, running the race should be done wisely and in God's way. And Paul says, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be adokimus. I want the appraisal of my judge in that coming day. May God speak to our hearts about the race of life, that we might receive that incorruptible crown in that coming day. Father, help us to understand that your principles are to be observed in the race of life. May we run it faithfully. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.